Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Podcast. I'm Todd Sumney, the Chief Industry Officer for HomeSmart International.
And I'm Rich LaRue, Vice President of Broker Operations for the Western Region for HomeSmart and the Designated Broker for Arizona. We've got a great program today. Who's our guest?
Our guest is Seth Weissman, the author of the book Done Deal. It is the Real Estate Agent's Guide to Mastering Negotiations and the Secrets of Winning the Real Estate Negotiation Game. And Seth is very well renowned. Before we kind of dig in, Rich, I want to give just a little bit of his background. He is the general counsel to the Georgia Realtors for the last 30 years, served as the general counsel to the Georgia Realtors for the last 30 years. He is also the partner and the leader of the, is it the Weissman Law Group?
Right, Weissman PC.
Weissman PC. And I also know from our brokerages around, or our brokerage here in Atlanta, everyone has a book on their desk called the Red Book.
In Georgia, they do.
And tell us a little bit about the Red Book. What is the Red Book?
Well, the Red Book is a kind of a contract textbook written for realtors, telling realtors how to understand and read contracts in Georgia and how to stay out of trouble when using contracts. And in Georgia, unlike many states, the realtor actually prepares the contract based on forms prepared by the Georgia realtors.
Well, our producer of the podcast, Rachel, was deep in your book yesterday. Actually, I ran into her and she was working inside your book. So I know it's very knowledgeable and used so often by everyone here in the state of Georgia.
Very kind of you to say.
And I know you do not like long introductions, but I do have there's a list I could read for probably 10 or 15 minutes about the accolades and all of the work and experience that you have in real estate. But today, I think what we're going to do is we're going to dig into how real estate agents can become better negotiators. And in a sense, Rich, I know you're really excited about this topic. It seems like it has been a lost art in the last two or three years.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, agents haven't had to use negotiation skills because the only thing they had to do was get a listing. And then it's, fighting the offers off it. We've relaxed a little bit, I think, with our skills.
Yeah, I would actually say that realtors for several years were order takers. If you had a listing, all you needed to do was to put the listing out, get a bunch of offers, and you did very little listing. It was very little negotiations. It was always what's the highest and best offer.
That's right. It makes it pretty simple that way. But with the market changing, slowing down a little bit, agents need to hone their skills a bit. And this is one area that I see that really makes a difference. And Seth, before we get into your book, I just want to say thank you for writing it. If you're watching our podcast, this is the book, Done Deal. And it is, in my opinion, a textbook for agents for writing transactions, negotiating transactions. I don't care if you got your license yesterday, there's something in this book for you. Or if you got your license 40 years ago, like some of us did, there's something in this book for you. I'm really excited about it. Yes, Todd, you can tell with my voice inflection that I've got some energy behind this today. And thrilled to tear the book apart, metaphorically.
Well, Derek, our broker from Atlanta, he just walked in the door early this morning too, holding the book in his hand and said, I'm halfway through and I'm loving it so far. So you're not the only one, Rich, that's loving this book. So if people want to know where they can find the book, I do know the book is available on Audible. How else can they order the book?
They can order it on Amazon and Audible, or you could order it from the Weissman Law Firm.
Great. Well, let's dig in a little bit. I want to set the stage a little bit with a little bit of a premise about some of the things that we talked about. We talked about or that we're going to talk about today is that, you know, a real estate transaction is different from other transactions where, like, if you're negotiating a car transaction, you're negotiating for yourself. In a real estate transaction, a real estate professional is often negotiating for someone else. And so I think there are some nuances we can dig into about that, about, you know, getting into text versus email and some other things where maybe that didn't used to exist years ago and that affects the art of negotiation. But, you know, I guess I want to start real quick with, why did you write the book?
Well, that's a great question. We wrote the book because we wanted to help realtors, and we've always been negotiation junkies in that I love negotiation. I wrote a book about negotiations 20 years ago, and I thought it was time for another book. And, you know, there's a ton of books out there dealing with negotiations, but most of them deal with face-to-face negotiations for when you may be buying a car. And that has no applicability to what realtors do in today's market. And I really wanted to write a book that was geared to their needs, teaching them how to do it better.
I love that. So,
well, this may be a redundant question, or Seth, how important is the ability to negotiate for a real estate professional? I mean, take some of my naysayers out there who just flipped us on and they're deciding whether they're going to listen past 5 minutes right now. You know, how important is this really?
Well, you know, when you interview buyers and sellers and you ask them, why did you hire a realtor? The most common answer you get is because of their knowledge and ability to negotiate on my behalf. And I think most people recognize that they need someone who's going to be an advocate for them. And for most buyers or sellers, this is the biggest financial transaction of your life, and no one wants to screw it up. And if you don't want to screw it up, you want to make sure you've got a great realtor by your side. And I think negotiation skills are just at the top of the list of things which are important.
How is your book different than, say, I read a book on negotiations years ago when I first got into the real estate business by an author by the name of Robert Ringer. Winning Through Intimidation. That book was about negotiating. Are you familiar with that book?
I am a little bit familiar with it. And I would actually say, you know, first of all, I do not think there is a magic bullet or a magic pill that if you swallow, you will be a great negotiator. To me, being a great negotiator is the equivalent of being a great realtor. You have to do a lot of things right. And frankly, Rich, at the top of the list is being friendly with the other realtor that you are working with on the other side of the transaction. So
friendly. Now, how does that help? Because we've got some folks listening and watching to this podcast saying, friendly, I don't want to be friendly with the other realtors. They don't know what they're doing. I just want to get the deal done.
Well, I think all the scientific studies, Rich, have said we are more inclined to want to help someone with whom we have a good rapport and who we like. And I think when you are working with another realtor, you want to build trust. You want to build a sense of professionalism. You want to build a sense of teamwork. We're both trying to accomplish the same thing. And, you know, there are some realtors who like to have some swagger in what they do, where they want to intimidate a little bit. I just think that's the wrong approach to being successful as a negotiator. if you dislike the person on the other side, you are not going to be inclined to want to help them get a deal done.
By the way, personally, I absolutely agree with you. I bring up those other scenarios just because there can be a prevailing thought process out there with some. And so, you know, I think that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you insert that into the real estate transaction and you start negotiating that way, I think it certainly helps. And you have a chapter dedicated to that.
We do. And again, I think what, you know, to me, it's more than being friendly. I think what you really need to do is to make the other realtor's life as easy as possible. We're still in a market where in many cases, there may be multiple offers. You want to be the person that the listing, if you're on the buy side, you want to be the person that the listing agent wants to do a deal with.
Well, I think the underlying current, Rich, here is that we all know, we've heard the phrase, nice guys finish last, you know, and sometimes people feel like, well, if I'm a little bit too friendly, am I giving away, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. In the Midwest, we're friendly people, we're nice. And does that harm me in a negotiation? And I think there's a fine line that the book does a great job of articulating that you need to be firm at certain points, but it starts with what Seth is saying, answering your phone, number one, not frustrating. And for all of you listening, that's the number one complaint that I hear from agents, you know, often is just the communication with some agents that some agents don't answer their phone. So number one, answer your phone. Don't frustrate the other agents. But then on top of it, I think Seth does a great job of articulating how to begin that relationship, because real estate is a relationship business, right? You see it every day, right?
Oh, yeah. Big believer in it. And along those lines, Seth, what if you were going to talk to, say, a less experienced negotiator, do you have a tip or two for the less experienced negotiator?
Well, I think one of the things I think a less experienced negotiator needs to always do is to know the value of the properties for which they are negotiating. And when you think about that, I think a lot of people assume that the list price is probably about what the house is worth. And that is just simply not the case. I've seen people overpay significantly because they didn't take the time to do their homework. And, you know, I think, Rich, one of the ways real estate has changed, when I started out many years ago, most realtors limited their sales to a very small neighborhood, maybe a couple of neighborhoods. Today, most realtors will say, I'm glad to find you a house anywhere in the city, however big that city may be. And unless the realtor is willing to take the time to understand the value of what they are negotiating to buy or sell, there's no way you can get a good deal for your client. You know, if I sent you into the Cadillac dealership and said, only thing you look at is the list price, go negotiate a good deal. If you don't know what that Cadillac is worth, you're not going to get a good deal. So doing your homework that way, I think, is critically important. I also think it's critically important to be hyper observant. And by that, when you walk through a house, I think houses can tell you a lot about the status and condition of the seller. Does it need a lot of repairs, which might indicate that the seller is financially distressed? Are there clothes and furniture missing from parts of a house, which might indicate that the seller is getting a divorce? How have they priced the house relative to other houses in the neighborhood? How is the other realtor reacting to answering your questions? Because I think what you always want to do is build a relationship with the other realtor and ask as many questions as you can on the buy side to maximize what you can learn about the property.
I was listening to that chapter again on the way into the office this morning, and you told a story. You reminded me of a video that I watched several years ago that, quite frankly, I want to integrate into one of my talks coming up. And it was about observation and the things that we see when we are hyper-focused on something, anything. But when we are hyper-focused on something, we may miss the obvious. Do you want to share the premise of that video and the studies behind that?
Well, I'm talking about
the monkey business video, just in case.
The monkey business video is a very interesting, again, a scientific study where you see a film of people bouncing a ball. And you're asked in the video to count the number of times they bounce the ball. What happens in the middle of the video is a person in a gorilla suit comes out in the middle of where these people are bouncing balls, beats on their chest, and then goes off stage. And when you ask people looking at the video who saw the gorilla, most of the people did not even see the gorilla because they were focused on counting the number of times that the ball was being bounced. And, you know, one of the things that's to me very interesting, I have never bought a house myself where after I've been in the house a month, I start to notice things that I completely missed. Because as I was walking through the house, I didn't focus on the cracks in the sheetrock, the settlement in the floor, the roof that needed repair. And I think realtors can do their clients a great service by looking for things that the buyers aren't necessarily looking for. Most buyers, when they walk through the house, have this general impression: do I want this house? Do I love this house? But they often miss a lot of the details.
Rich, real quick. True. Yes, we interviewed three of our elite agents here in Atlanta. And it is ironic to hear what Seth is saying and to play back in my head what those top agents said yesterday. They were talking about how the consumer comes through the home and it's emotional for them about what would it be like to live here? What's the neighborhood like? How does the sunlight feel when they're sitting in a particular part of the home? They're focused on what it would be like to live there. Do I want to live here or not? And the agents were talking about how they immediately go to the items of, is there water damage? Is there cracks in the foundation? How is the roof? How are the appliances? What are the air conditioner or, you know, heating units operating like, you know? And so it's exactly what you're saying. And that is a big service that the agents are providing for the consumer, right?
It is. It can be a little bit of a buzzkill, you know, when it gets introduced, when the timing is off, when we start talking about those things. But it is critical that we are aware of those things as agents to point them out to our client. So, yeah, agreed.
And, you know, one of the things we did in writing this book, as I said, my co-author, Catherine Oates, and I are both junkies when it comes to negotiation. But we interviewed literally hundreds of very successful agents, asking them, what do y'all do to be successful? And that's all reflected in the book.
You think that negotiating real estate has gotten easier or harder in the last 20 years?
I think it has gotten harder for one main reason, which is we don't communicate face-to-face anymore. And frankly, we barely communicate at all. And I think one of the things that was a real downside for COVID is it really put agents in a position where most of their communications were by text or were by email. And one of the things I feel very strongly about is you should never negotiate by text or email. I think when you're negotiating, you want the benefit of being able to hear the tone of what another person is saying or communicating.
And can you elaborate on that? I think that this is a critical point. And for those of you listening, if you're able to take notes, this would be the time to do it. And for those of you watching, if you're able to do it, because I know you've got some great points and great thoughts on this, Seth. So can you elaborate on that? How does one go about, I mean, you're absolutely right. We are negotiating. We are attempting to negotiate via email and sometimes even text. And it's an absolute disaster when it happens. So how do we get out of that rut?
Well, I think you want to use emails and text as a teaser. And you want it to be something that's going to get the other agent willing to call you on the telephone, where you can then have a realistic conversation. So what I might do in the text, you know, if we're going back and forth with offers and counteroffers, I might say, I think we can get to a deal here. Can you give me a call so that we can discuss it further? So you've let the other agent know that you're very close, that you think a deal can be done. That is going to be a huge motivator to the realtor on the other side. And when you say, please give me a call, that will normally get the other agent to call you. But I think a lot of agents are actually, well, I think agents have become so busy. And some of them, I think, are afraid of having face-to-face conversations. And when I say face-to-face, I mean not necessarily face-to-face, but just having a phone call where you have a chance for some honest communication with another person.
Seth, let me ask you a question. Just as you're discussing this, I'm wondering, as an attorney, you like face-to-face conversations, obviously. Have you taken that and not just a phone call, maybe doing a Zoom call to negotiate with, whether it's another party or another attorney in a deal that you're working through? Have you taken it that far? Do you find that face to face on Zoom is closer than a phone call? That makes sense.
You absolutely, and obviously, you get to see a person's facial expressions. You get to see how people react to your words, but of course, achieving that is often easier said than done.
Yeah.
I think most realtors will say it's hard enough to get the other agent to call me back, let alone agree to do a Zoom call. But you know, what lawyers do is actually the exact same thing that realtors do.
We are
negotiating for others. And I think one of the critical points that people need to remember is that it is the client's negotiation, not your negotiation. And I think some deals oftentimes end up dying because the realtor felt that their client was paying too much on the buy side, or on the list side, that they were accepting less than they would have accepted had it been their home. But it ain't their home. They're not going to be living there. And if the client is happy with the deal, that is should always be a successful conclusion. You don't necessarily need to be your happiest, but if your client is, you've achieved great success.
Are you suggesting that as real estate professionals, we should get out of our own ways sometimes and let our clients buy the house?
Well, I think it's really a matter of the negotiation is an emotional enough transaction. What we don't want to do is to make it any more emotional than it needs to be. And I think that's where the realtors need to play a different kind of role where they don't get emotionally wrapped up in the deal. To them, it should be a business transaction.
I think that's very well stated. Yeah, thank you.
Word mediator comes to mind in that situation for me.
Well, I think for experienced agents, probably the two things I would say that experienced agents need to do is one, I think an experienced agent always learns that with the high degree of emotionality in these transactions, we need to filter our communications always, so that we're not giving our client word for word verbatim over regarding what they've heard from the other agent. You know, if the other agent is saying, I can't believe that you have avocado green appliances from the 1960s. I can't believe you have flowered wallpaper that hasn't changed in the last 30 years. That would never be something an experienced agent would say to their client. It's just going to make the client mad. You know, this house is a reflection of who they are. You're attacking it. When you filter communications, you say something like, well, you know, the buyer's going to want to make some changes to the house. That's going to cost some money. And they're factoring that into the price they're willing to offer. And filtering is critical. And I think the other thing that is critical is learning to make yourself a mediator, or to at least create the illusion of being a mediator. And by mediator, I'm saying what you want to never do is to be perceived as the obstacle to getting a deal done.
Right.
So if what I say to you, Rich, is I think your house is way overpriced. I can't believe you're trying to get this amount of money for this crappy home that you've got listed. You now look at me with dislike. I've attacked you. We are less likely to work together to get a deal done. But if what I say to you is something like, Rich, I just want to get a deal done here, whatever makes my client happy, I'm happy. But here's the challenge my client is having with where we are. They asked me to run comps. I've run them. I gave them to them. And my client is saying to me X, Y, or Z. You now dislike me. You may dislike my client a bit, but that's actually okay because we expect the other person's client to be a bit unreasonable. But you always want to put yourself in that position where you are seen as I'm in the middle trying to get a deal done. So we need to learn to forget, I think, it is my opinion. Those kinds of statements.
My buyer.
Right.
Like we own them. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's an important distinction also between filtering and non-disclosure.
Absolutely. And obviously, we always want to get the message across, but I think one of the hardest things for new realtors to appreciate is the high degree of emotionality associated with buying and selling a house. Because truly, a house is a reflection either of who we are, our tastes, our choices, our lifestyle. And on the buy side, it's a reflection of what we want to become. Because this is, again, the most important financial decision of our lives. It's going to be the place where we raise our families, our kids. People get very worked up emotionally. And what we as realtors have to do in negotiating for them is tone that down.
Exactly.
There's one phrase that stood out in the book to me. I wonder if it hit you the same way. It was the words, creating positive leverage. That seems to me like that's a very important part of the negotiation. Can you speak to that for a minute?
Sure. Well, I think leverage is really about how do you create a sense of the need to act immediately, but to do it in a way that's not offensive. And I think certainly experienced realtors know how to create positive leverage. You know, we see it, if what you say is there's a lot of interest in this home, that sends a message, obviously, to the buyer, I better act now if I want a shot at getting this house. I think what we need to always learn to do is to say things in a way that gets the other side motivated. You know, if I'm on the buy side and I say to you, this house may work, we're excited about it, but there's some other houses we're also considering, that sends a message to the seller, hey, I'd better be flexible here if I want to sell my house to this buyer. But, you know, with regards to creating that leverage, you have to truly understand where you are in the marketplace, because markets are constantly changing, as we know. You know, if you've got 50 people lined up to see a house, and on the buy side, I tell you, we're also looking at three other houses, Rich is going to chuckle and say, good luck, I'm going to have a contract and three backup offers by the time you come back to see the house. So I think you always need to understand kind of the dynamics of a real estate market.
Let's take that to the other side of that. Many times you'll have agents create that hype. They may attempt to speak that into existence. An agent representing a potential buyer may say, hey, how's the activity on the house? Do you have any other offers? And it's, oh, yes, we've got another offer coming in later this morning. You know, and sometimes that is just like in a knee-jerk reaction from a listing agent. Another one of your chapters talks about.
If I could interrupt you for 1 second, I got a call the other week talking to an agent who said the house had been on the market for 6 months, no activity. Everyone knew it was sitting there stale. Buyer comes along, falls in love with the house, makes an offer, and the listing agent calls back the next day and says, well, we're moving into the highest and best offer stage where we're presenting all offers to the seller. And the buyer absolutely knew that it was total crap. And what that listing agent did was lose all credibility
immediately.
And once you lose that credibility, the likelihood of getting a deal done becomes exceptionally remote. You know, it's fine to create that positive leverage, but you never want to cross the line where people just know you're saying stuff for the sake of say, you know, to where they know it's phony.
One of the most heart-lifting things of your book is that you come from that place. Every chapter, every word is about, you know, truth and honesty, negotiating but not manipulating. I think that's critical to maintain your credibility, not only with this transaction, but as your reputation as a professional and as an experienced negotiator.
Yeah, because you know, if you lose that credibility once, if you're caught in a lie, that will travel with you as long as you interact with the other realtor. The other realtor will never trust you. And when that trust is broken, I think it is frankly impossible to recapture it to get deals done.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, Rich, I've worked with you for many, many years, and you've been excited every conversation we've had with Seth. You've been excited since you've read the book. But you run the eighth largest brokerage in the United States. You see transactions coming across your desk and the other brokers' desks every single day. And, you know, so this hits very close to home for you because every transaction is a negotiation. And we were talking yesterday that the word transaction, we use that here in our industry internally, but to the consumer, it's not a transaction. It's everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I guess what I'm digging for from you real quick is what got you so excited about this book? And, you know, what were a couple of the key things that really spoke to you so quickly? Because I saw you react. I saw
you did
the book.
Yeah. This is like oxygen to me. This is the lifeblood of our business. We negotiate everything. And no matter what you think it is, it's a negotiation. Going to dinner with my wife is a negotiation. And and all of you in the Atlanta studio right now, I know you're chuckling under your breath. You know exactly what I mean. You know, I mean it just is. And so we have to keep our poise on these things every single minute. But as it relates to real estate deals, and I will, this is a closed group that's going to see this video. We, you know, transactions is a mouthful. We don't call them transaction. We talk about the deals we're doing. And in order to get a deal done and across the finish line, everything is a negotiation. And so I just saw this book at an opportune time. And being written by somebody with immense credibility, and I really like the way you took it, Seth, to 2023 and negotiating in today's times. if we've been in the business for more than a minute, we've read some book on negotiation skills, and there's hundreds, maybe thousands of them out there. One of the things that I really liked and what spoke to me, Todd, was not negotiating via text and email, because there's so many agents who don't want to have a conversation. You know, don't call me, just email the offers here, and I will only communicate by email. And I think they're doing themselves and their clients a disservice by that. But the point is that we need to get that agent on the phone and to be able to communicate with him, to be able to talk to him, to be able to have a conversation, to be able to build rapport and get somewhere with it. Because otherwise, it's numbers on a page, and there is no emotional attachment to it at all. And this is a very emotional business. It's a very emotional transaction for everybody involved. And, you know, I mean, as a side note, as a buyer and a seller, you know, I, as a client, I have found that I am horrible. And as a broker dealing with me as a client, I want to fire myself often. I can handle my own transaction as a broker, but as a buyer or a seller, you know, I'm a basket case. And it's interesting. I think we all need to do, we all need to move every few years. So we have the opportunity to be put in the situation and deal with the emotions that we have to deal with, you know, and then negotiate on top of that. It's a tall order.
Well, I think you make some great points, Rich. And I would just say, to be a great negotiator, it's not one secret thing that you do. It's really about doing a whole host of things correctly and the right way. And I think a lot of it comes down to being the friendly, credible professional that other people like and trust. That's the kind of person who's going to get a lot of deals done.
And you're not talking about being the life of the party. You're talking about being honest, sincere, knowing your stuff, and being able to negotiate.
And making the other realtor's job easier.
Exactly. For those of you watching us, this is the book, Done Deal. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Audible. You can listen to it. You can read it. I recommend that you get the hard copy so that you can mark it up. Mine already has dog-eared pages and highlighters in it, Seth. Good stuff. Really appreciate the fact that you and Catherine took the time to write the book. And I really do think it's a textbook for real estate professionals. Well done. Well,
thank you so much, Rich.
Well, thank you, Seth, for being here today on the Real Estate Podcast. Rich, thank you for your insight as usual. And
it was a fun conversation. Wasn't intentionally being a book plugging deal here or a conversation, but it turned out to that. It was a great book.
Yes, it is. It is.
Well, again, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you all for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of the Real Estate Podcast. I'm Todd Sumney.
I'm Rich LaRue.
And with Seth Weissman. And so thank you all for joining us today. We'll see you back on future episodes.
Like what you're hearing on The Real Estate? Tell your friends about us. Tell them to check out all of our episodes on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. And don't forget to send any topics you want us to tackle to therealestate@homesmart.com.